between the story of Jesus' birth and this baptism, and the years in between. If birth and baptism are the high points, then it only makes sense that in between are the valleys, the low points. The visit of the Magi, who tell of a star that led the way to Herod's court, and the news of this Messiah who sets Herod into this murderous rampage full of jealousy and insecurity and eventual slaughtering of the innocents who might be the Messiah. All of this to keep his own power. There are plenty of Herods who fill our news with the same ill intent aimed at innocents and people caught in the crossfire. The flight to the Ukraine shot down this week because of heightened tensions in Iran, caused by the assassination of Iran's General Soleimani, put blood on the hands of all those who vie for power, those jealous or those insecure. We remember the slaughter of the innocents, those 176 lives lost, and the families irreparably devastated by those deaths. I heard the story of the man whose wife got on the flight and he didn't. And I don't know how he's going to go on, let alone the thousands and millions of other lives touched by those 176. It's no wonder, when given the choice, that in the midst of war and heartache, that people flee. It's no wonder that a large portion of the people on that Flight 752 were Canadian, technically Iranian-Canadian, but Canadian, seeking better lives for themselves and for their families. Mary and Joseph fled to Egypt. Over the millennia, it has been necessary for us to move, be it refugees or immigrants or climate-affected migrants. It's been our history to search for better opportunities elsewhere, to do what was necessary to protect the next generation. And when Joseph hears in a dream that it's safe to return, the family returns to Israel, as one can assume the reception in Egypt was not as welcoming as they had hoped. Maybe it was merely to return to a life that they knew. Fast forward to when Jesus comes to the Jordan River in search of baptism. Those who sought baptism by John were looking for a renewed vision for their life. They were not looking to return to a life that they knew. John's baptism was one of change, of repentance. That's a big, heavy church word. But it literally just means turning your life around. It's no mistake that this story comes at the beginning of the year when we get those New Year's resolutions itch that we're going to lose that 10 pounds, like we've said for the last 50 years, and make a positive change in our life. But I wonder what Jesus was seeking when he came for baptism. That's usually one of my first questions when I ask a family, a person, why they're seeking baptism. Just why? Sometimes it's tradition. Sometimes they are a part of this church community and want to affirm that. Sometimes they don't know. Why did Jesus come to the Jordan? Why do we? Water has always been a sign of the sacredness of life. Mentioned more than 180 times in the Bible, the Jordan River particularly has an important purpose to those, purpose and meaning to those in Palestine. It was and it is a source of water for crops and for drinking and bathing and animals. It's also a boundary line, separating Israel from in the west and Jordan in the east. And maybe because of this physical boundary that the Jordan became a spiritual boundary as well, a crossing point, a metaphor for spiritual rebirth and salvation, a source of holy water. Of course, over the years, it has been fought over and defended, this holy site riddled with landmines until just recently. There's life and death at the river's edge. Jesus might have come to the waters to follow that light that shone in his life, to seek out that sacredness that filled his bedtime stories with stories of angels and magi. Maybe that's what brings people to baptism in churches too, that there's some triggering spiritual experience that they're trying to understand. They come following the light, and the hope. They come seeking a renewed vision of life, and together we find ourselves at the river's edge, not knowing if we can ever return to life as it was. Because what we find in the water is not necessarily the shining stones of light. But muck. It wasn't that dark, but that's what the River Jordan looks like. When I had the chance for a renewal of baptism in the Jordan, I didn't have high expectations. I knew the Jordan was going to look like every other river I swam in my childhood. Mucky and dirty and murky. The holiness of the water was something that was told to me, something that was taught to me. But I couldn't see it. When I came up out of the water, there were no heavens opened, no voices heard, no doves alighting on me. Thank goodness. But my eyes were open to what truly happens in baptism. In baptism, we enter the murky, muddy, troubled waters of life. Like our anthem makes the transition from the light of that led the Magi to the light that shone at Calvary, we recognize that light shining in both the good and the not so good. We see the problems of this life and choose to participate in them rather than avoid them altogether. We listen to the heart-wrenching pre-war moments of death and despair this week and pray for peace. We've heard the stories of the Australian fires and the flash floods around the planet and consider how we can help. The renewed vision we have in baptism is to see the reality of the world and not shy away, full of beauty and terror, and know that in the midst of it all, we are to keep going, knowing that in it we see one another. In these moments of beauty, we wonder what lurks on the underside. What is going missed? What is the ugliness we shy away from? In the moments of terror, in the muddy, murky, troubled water, what still shines? Because I can tell you, it's still kind of sparkly because of the light, even though it's a mess. When I came up out of that water, out of the Jordan, I saw all those that were surrounding me. I offered a prayer for those I was sharing my renewal of baptismal faith with. I offered a prayer for those who had surrounded me throughout my life's journey. I was reminded that I've never been alone. I have been lucky enough to have had people welcome me and accept me and support me and love me. And when I've felt most alone, it's because of my own feelings of inadequacy and insecurity that have obscured all the light that has shone. In baptism, we enter the muddy, murky, troubled waters of this life. Thank God I'm not doing baptism or renewal of baptismal faith today, but maybe I should. Because when we talk about baptism and we talk about the prayers that we offer at baptism, we pray that as we enter into and resist the evil of this world, that we seek the good together. For we know God dwells in each and every moment, the beautiful and the terrible. For we do not face the sorrows nor the joys alone. And so Jesus, in all of his belovedness, calls us to the same, into the mundane, the messed up, the muddiness of this world, to know that we are beloved regardless of what's going on in and around us. We're called to live up to the call that is made to each one of us to shine in our faith, to encourage one another, to offer love, and to see that sparkle of the divine, for the Jordan River still shines even though it's murky. When I came up out of the water, that's what I noticed most. The sparkling river, the sparkling eyes of those around me, the spark of God in each and in all, for creation bears the light of the divine. So wherever you find yourself in life's journey, floating aimlessly in a lifeboat, slogging through quicksand or mud, creeping through a dark valley, trying to read the trail in a dense forest, take heart. You do not travel alone. We are built for community, to recognize the light in us and others. For we need one another for support and encouragement, like the kids up here to see joy and love, even when it seems like uncontrolled chaos. We have a home and we take our places here. Around this font to see both beauty and terror. Around this table to see both hunger and thirst and the meeting of our needs. We gather in community to never give up on ourselves or on others, for we proclaim the good news of God's unconditional and unconquerable love for all people. Thanks be to God. Amen.